Disruption Zone. Opportunity lives where the status quo dies. Talking to the greatest innovators, disruptors, and off-the-wall inventors we can scrounge up. You laugh, you'll learn, you'll be inspired. Now, here are your hosts, Leland Conway and Cameron Mills.
Kentucky Agriculture Commissioner Ryan Quarles back on the Disruption Zone podcast. What are you doing, sir? How are you?
Doing great. You know, we're out and about. It's midsummer. We are out on family farms making sure that people know farmers markets are open, the grocery stores are full, and even though we have a pandemic, the Kentucky farmers are going to keep you fed. And I'll be honest with you, I've been tasting some Kentucky Proud items I didn't even know exist during quarantine, and there's a lot out there. It's
like
been
what?
Great.
Like what did you not know exist that was a Kentucky product? Give me an example.
Well, I can't say I tasted it, but we have a broad array of Kentucky Proud hand sanitizers from our ethanol plant.
Yes.
You know, I do suspect that there's going to be some of these bourbon folks are going to start collecting these novel, distillery-based hand sanitizers. But I'll say this. I came across some smoked country sausage last week out of Trigg County, Kentucky.
You're killing me.
Oh, my gosh. Now, there's some fat in it. I'm not gonna hide that.
Fat is good. But I'm not worried about fat.
But the flavor is amazing. It's amazing.
So what is your favorite Kentucky dish?
Oh, that's tough. That's tough.
I'll give you mine while you think about yours.
Okay.
Actually, it's two dishes and one other sort of item. But these three things will kill me every time. They'll bring me to the table. My mamaw used to make, it was taters and green beans, like all mixed in together.
Nice.
Oh my gosh, with bacon. You know what I'm talking about? So it was taters, green beans, and bacon all like stewed together. Country ham from Fitch's IGA in Wilmore, Kentucky. That dude, Leonard Fitch, best country ham. I used to work in the meat department at his store when I was in college at Asbury. And
you did not.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. And
really?
That was actually my first job when I got to college because I didn't have a car and I could walk across the street. And we knew the Fitches. It's a sidebar totally, but you know how we do this on the podcast.
And you passed all the health inspections?
Can you believe that?
When you were working there?
Can you believe that? So I kid you not. The Fitches are a family in Wilmore, Kentucky. They are the sweetest, most wonderful people. They own Fitch's IGA. When I was a kid, we were like dirt poor. And there were a lot of times my dad was like on the mission field or whatever, and they would extend credit to us to get groceries. And of course, we always made good, but they were just the sweetest family. And then I walked over there when I first got to college, like the day after I got dropped off. I didn't have a car, so I had to go somewhere. And I paid my way through college. So I walked over and saw Mr. Fitch and said, Can I work here? And he said, I need somebody in the meat department. Bam, put me to work. So, but he makes his country ham with like, it's like a brown sugar. Oh, it's unbelievable, dude. It's unbelievable.
So the bitter with the sweet.
Mm-hmm.
The bitter with the sweet.
Yeah. And then
a little bit of both.
Yeah, exactly. And then a big old pot of bean soup. So, I mean, that's my thing. All right. I gave you plenty of time. Think of yours. What's yours?
Well, look, I think there's a couple things. Just real quickly. I've always been a steak and potato guy. Kentucky's a big beef cattle state. We talk about that a lot with you. A nice, well-marbled steak any day of the week from a Kentucky farmer.
Okay, that works.
Also, number two, sausage and eggs, like Kentucky Proud sausage,
yes.
Like Purnell's, Old Folks Country sausage,
yes.
and some eggs in the morning or night or lunch.
Or lunch.
Late night snack.
Whatever. Whatever.
Now, then the last one, I grew up with this one. That, beat this. A ball knob steak. My family comes from Ball Knob, Kentucky, northern Franklin County. So I was growing up, when my mom or dad said we're having Ball Knob steak tonight, I knew instinctively it was fried bologna. That's what it was.
Ball Good Knob stuff. Steak. That is awesome. I was like, where's he going with this? Fried bologna sandwich. You haven't lived till you had a fried bologna sandwiches. I'm just saying. A little mayonnaise
amazing.
On there.
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
So you're suing Governor Andy Beshear. I nicknamed him Andy Basu when he was the Attorney General because he was literally, if he walked past the table and there was a ham sandwich sitting on the table and somebody told him that Bevin had made it, he would have sued right then and there. And now you are suing him over the shutdown for COVID-19 and the way that that was handled, you say, disproportionately. I happen to agree. Tell me what's going on.
Look, I wish it hadn't come to this, but what we're dealing with, as the state's top agriculture official, we deal with over 500 agritourism venues across Kentucky, and some of them are bigger than others. We actually have one called Evans Orchard in Scott County.
I know it very well.
Has not only, great. It's like you pick cider, apples. They also have a wedding barn facility, but what really makes this a unique case is that they have a playground that's 96,000 square feet. That's over 2 acres. You could develop 20 houses on the size of this playground in modern subdivisions. It's gigantic. It's outdoors. And what happened is that the family owned 90 years in the same family. The female that owns and operates this is wanting to follow the law. They want to follow the rules. And they want to enforce social distancing, encourage mask wearing, as do I do. But what happened is that they reached out to the local health department multiple times. Either they were given conflicting advice, conflicting guidelines, or slow responses. This family went as far as to write the governor a letter last month and was completely ignored. So this is a family-owned business that is wanting to follow the rules, wanting to respect public health, but with a two-acre sized playground, as of last week, they were limited to only 10 people. And what makes this an interesting situation is that Kentucky Kingdom in Louisville opened up last month as well. And according to the governor's office, they can have over 16,000 people at their outdoor attraction and still be in compliance with the guidelines. Public swimming pools are just now opening back up. And they actually have a formula that you take whatever the square footage of the pool is, divide it by 36, and that's how many people you can have. Even if it's greater than 50 people. For example, 2,000 square foot pool, you got 55 people there. So Evans Orchard is simply asking to be treated fairly.
Right.
They want to follow the rules, but it just doesn't seem like that the regulations and executive orders for one industry makes any sense for other industries as well. And again, I can't emphasize enough the need for public safety and public health as we go through this together. But if Kentucky Kingdom can have over 16,000 people, if public swimming pools can have well over 50, I think Evans Orchard with a 96,000 square foot playground can have more than 10 or 50 people.
I mean, it just makes sense. And I feel like this goes back to the way the governor has handled this from the beginning, and that is very arbitrary. You know, sending the state police to churches that were still meeting in defiance of his orders to take license plates and essentially intimidate people who showed up at church, some of whom were just having outdoor services. Meanwhile, you know, liquor stores stay open, you know, and it's like, I'm not arguing liquor stores should have ever closed. In fact, I would argue that we never should have closed the way we did beyond maybe 2 or 3 weeks, and we should have immediately adopted what we're doing now, and that's social distancing everywhere and masks. But he's just been arbitrary from the beginning.
And look, we've learned a lot about this disease that we didn't know back in early March, as a lot of these executive orders were fired off. And I understand that. We've learned a lot about that as well.
Right.
But all we're asking for is fairness, that if one business gets to follow these set of rules, then the next business, there should be an expectation that they get to follow something very similar, if not the same. And secondly, Leland, I think the General Assembly has been completely left out of this conversation.
Yes.
They are a co-equal branch of government. And it's been my experience as a former legislator and now serving in the executive branch that the best public policies are formed when you include not only other branches of the government, but also giving the public the chance to have official comment.
Right.
And one thing that these emergency orders are not doing is allowing the public the opportunity to formally chime in on the rulemaking process. And Leland, a lot of people don't know this. Kentucky Department of Ag oversees a lot of things that may not be ag-related. We oversee gas pumps. We oversee amusement rides, et cetera. We have to actually tweak our regs occasionally. And whenever we have to make a new or different rule, by law, we are required to to have a notice and comment period so that the public, anybody at all, can chime in. And that's simply not happening now with over 100 days of emergency executive orders. And as of right now in July, no official way for the public to be part of the rulemaking decisions.
I feel like, because, you know, I can confirm from members of the leadership of the legislature that we've had on this podcast that they've said he's not called them once, not once. Now, that may have changed since I last talked to them, but at that time we were deep into this and he had never even insinuated that he wanted to chat with them. And if things are so crazy that we have to shut, or at the time had to shut the state down, you would think that that's an all hands on deck approach, meaning you would want to depend on people that are close to your constituents in the areas where your constituents live, which is what the legislature represents. And I think beyond that, I think he had people in his circle. Yeah. And I think he had people in his circle that were literally just making stuff up and saying, let's do this and let's do that and let's do this. And that's why it came out as a patchwork of arbitrary ridiculousness.
And look, the same sort of unresponsiveness could have prevented all this. I mean, Jenny Evans wrote the governor last month and was completely ignored. All she was wanting was guidance and help and a better understanding. And, you know, if they had gotten back to her, if the local health department had given clearer answers, we may not be in the situation that we are now. But look, I'm all about Team Kentucky. I'm all about us working together. But working together means you have to pick the phone up and call each other,
right,
and be a team player. But right now, I think that this is really coming out of the governor's office without much input from other elected officials.
So what will your lawsuit force the governor to do if you win?
Well, it's being the lawsuit is based upon violation of basically the notice and comment making opportunity that the Administrative Procedures Act requires. And look, we know that emergencies require swift action by the executive. We're not questioning that. We're just making sure that the public has the opportunity to be part of the decision-making process and have a formal way to be part of rulemaking, which is what normal rulemaking would require.
Right.
And so we're not against a lot of these regulations. We're not against a lot of these recommendations, such as social distancing and wearing a mask.
Some of them make sense, yeah.
Especially in public. But let me give you another example about how haphazard this regulatory mayhem has been. If you're an outdoor restaurant, if your seating is outdoor, you have unlimited capacity right now. This playground is outdoor,
right,
but has limited capacity. You know, if Evans Orchard wanted to turn their playground into a restaurant and say, we're going to be serving popcorn, and oh, by the way, here's 2 acres worth of playground equipment for your kids to enjoy while you eat popcorn, that's disingenuous.
Right.
I know that other companies may have changed or modified their structure to try to get around these regs. These folks want to do it right. As the Commissioner of Agriculture, I want to do it right, but we shouldn't have to have a press conference and legal challenge to get a hold of someone's attention,
right,
because we oversee over 500 of these sites. They're not created equal. This one, I think, shows the absurdity and inconsistency of some of these regulations, especially since it's an outdoor event. It's not inside.
Well, isn't there a lot of evidence emerging that UV light kills the coronavirus, meaning it's almost impossible to catch it when you're outside, because as soon as it touches UV light, it basically dies. So outside is where we need to be.
I'm not a doctor, but what I do know is that outdoor facilities have a lot less regulations than indoor facilities. And look, even large restaurants, even operating at a third capacity right now, if they can seat it properly, they can exceed some of the limitations on, right, 10 to 50 people. And look, Leland, we're just asking for consistency and fairness. You know,
right,
the executive, the governor encouraged and restricted gatherings of over 10 people until recently in Kentucky. But we know that there were certain large mass gatherings around Kentucky over the past month. You know, people were rightfully exercising their ability to protest, and I encourage them to do that and exercise your First Amendment rights. But there's selective enforcement. All we're talking about is a playground that's big enough to have 7 Olympic-sized swimming pools on it.
Right.
And we're asking for them to have the ability to follow the same rules as other outdoor facilities, such as public swimming pools.
Right. So I got to ask, is the lawsuit costing the taxpayers money?
Right now, it's the lawsuit is the plaintiffs are Evans Orchard, and on behalf of the Department of Agriculture, we joined in as a plaintiff as well because we help oversee agritourism. And so as of right now, we do have a KDA attorney representing Department of Agriculture and representing all agritourism sites across the state.
Okay. Well, but also it's also your job to stand up for agriculture. And if agriculture is being unfairly targeted or singled out, I wouldn't say targeted, but certainly unfairly treated, then you have every right and responsibility to stand up for them.
And I feel like that's what we're doing. We're standing up for Kentucky's family farmers. We're standing up for Kentucky small business owners. And again, I can't stress to you enough the respect I have for public health. And that's something that we're not challenging. We're not challenging the CDC recommendations in this lawsuit. All we're asking for is some rhyme and reason and organization that when these executive orders are made, that they don't leave out agriculture as well. And so for me, I'm just doing my job standing up for Kentucky's 76,000 farm families. This is not personal. This is not political. All we're asking for is fairness. Now that we're over 100 days in on executive orders. And look, I think that these emergency powers, when they originally were enacted by the General Assembly years ago, I think that they were contemplating natural disasters, tornadoes, earthquakes, temporary emergencies.
Right.
And we're not exactly sure that there was legislative intent for them to be open-ended with no end in sight.
Right. So has the governor responded to your lawsuit?
I think they issued a statement. That's the only thing that I'm aware of. And it was interesting that in the statement, he said that all businesses, I'm paraphrasing, that businesses need to follow the same rules.
But the rules are different. That's the point. The rules are different.
That's the whole point. And if Kentucky Kingdom is legally allowed to have 16,000 people on their property on any given day,
right?
Evans Orchard just wants the same formula applied to their outdoor playground.
Yeah. Wow. So, you're a guy who's been known to work together. This is not something, I mean, you're not, that I can tell anyway, you're not making partisan statements. Do you get along with the governor?
Yeah, of course. You know, I actually thought he was doing a pretty good job at the early days, the early weeks of COVID, and I'm on record saying that.
Right.
But I also think that we need to make sure that if we're going to keep talking about Team Kentucky, that it includes
all of it,
members of both parties, and that it includes the ability of the other statewide elected officials in our General Assembly be included as well. Look, the same voters that put him in the office put me in the office as well, and that it's important that we work together. And I think you're right, Leland. I'm the type of guy that just likes to get things done. I like to find solutions. But when a company is begging for help, getting inconsistent feedback from the health department, when they write the governor and is completely ignored, I have no choice but to step up and stand up for Kentucky Family Farms.
Yeah. Are you going to run for governor someday?
Oh, I don't know. I love my job right now. You know, in middle school, I've always wanted to be commissioner of agriculture.
Really?
I don't know. Oh, yeah. I remember going to the Kentucky State Fair and seeing Commissioner Billy Ray Smith shake hands with 4-H and FFA contestants. And so for me, that's the biggest enjoyment of my job is shaking the hands. Well, we're not allowed to shake hands anymore, but the handout ribbons and say congratulations, whether a kid came in first place or last place. At a livestock showing event. You know, I'm going to pray about what my future holds. I don't know what it might be. I love policy making. I love politics, but I also love the educational side as well. That, you know, I've taught before. I've been in the classroom. So I really don't know what's next, but right now I'm focused on being the best commissioner of agriculture we've ever had. I hope so.
So when little Bobby in your class was like, I want to be a fireman, and you were like, I want to be a ag commissioner. Like, you were probably like that kid, right? You were like, I want to be the ag commissioner.
Well,
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
But, you know, I spent a lot of time contemplating my future out on the farm. My dad gave me character building exercises. Yeah. For about 80 hours a week when I was growing up. And yeah. So I had plenty of time to think about it.
I remember there was a story, I was like a couple, 5 years ago or so, where there was this father. The guy, he got arrested, okay, because he was making his son build a fence in the backyard with blocks, and then he would make him tear it down and then move it back to the other side, and then he had to go run like 2 miles in between. And somebody reported him, and it turned out the dad was just making make work as a punishment because the kid wasn't living up to his end of the bargain in school. And I thought it was so pathetic that they arrested the father, because I was like, you know, this is some liberal state where, you know, whatever, the government wants to tell you how to parent your kids. There wasn't any abuse going on. My dad used to make me build stuff that had no point and then unbuild it, you know, just like make work. You know, it's like, go out there and do something and spend some time thinking about things. You know, that was just good parenting, you know?
Yeah, I think so. It sounds like you just had one giant Lego set when you were growing up. Yeah, you know, just build something, take it apart. But you know what? I wouldn't trade my farm upbringing for anything.
Right.
You know, I've learned a lot from my dad, a lot from my mom. And look, there's no substitute for hard work. When I travel Kentucky, you know, people that may have sweat on their brow, have grease on their hands, you know, I respect them just as much as the folks that are lawyers and doctors, et cetera. And I think right now in society, Leland, we've got to be able to treat each other with respect,
right?
Treat each other like human beings. And I think that we're, unfortunately, I think COVID has caused a lot of tension to be manifested in many different ways across the United States.
And agreed.
We just got to treat each other with some decency. And look, on the family farm, I recently talked about this. We had a lot of folks work for us over the years. We had folks that had troubled backgrounds. We had folks that were drifters, folks that had issues in their life, but we all drank from the same water jug at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And it didn't matter who you are, you should just treat others with dignity and with respect.
Yeah. Will there be a state fair this year?
There will be a state fair. This was one of the things that we worked with the governor's office on. We got approval for a Kentucky State Fair. And now I got to tell you, the state fair we're used to is not the state fair we're going to have. And I know that you have lost 2 years in a row at the Pooper Scooper Challenge. We might be able to have it. I'm not sure. But to be very clear here, I want to be very clear. The Kentucky State Fair in 2020 is not the state fair you're going to be used to. It's basically four events. It's going to be a large livestock show. We have over 600 acres in downtown Louisville. We're going to spread out. And since all these county fairs have been canceled, we want those kids that have worked so hard raising their livestock to have an opportunity to show. And so we're going to do it correctly and socially distance that. We're going to have some outdoor concerts that are spread out. We're still working on exactly how it's going to work. We have a midway with some rides that we're going to have frequent disinfecting going on. And the fourth thing we're going to have is a horse show. And so I just want to say, yes, there will not be an asterisk next year, 2020, about state fairs. All of those state fairs have been canceled across the United States. We're going to do it responsibly. The state fair is in August, and it's right before the Kentucky State Fair. We want to get it right, but also keep in mind, please have patience with us, because we're not going to see the large crowds and exhibits like we have in years past.
I get the feeling that you're going to try to hide behind COVID, because this was going to be my year. I'm training for the Pooper Scooper Challenge, and I'm not going to let you hide behind, you know, some kind of virus to avoid having to take me on the 1 year
Leland,
I'm actually ready to
Leland,
beat you.
Leland, I'm not Joe Biden. I don't need to hide from you, okay?
Yes.
All the practice in the world, I don't know. Although you were pretty close this past time.
I was, man. I got closer.
Yeah. We had a series of unbiased judges right there to call it at the end. You know, there's no bias at all.
I'm not sure I believe that. I'm gonna register a complaint. It seems absurd. I love that we're gonna have the state fair. It does seem absurd to me though that what we started this conversation off talking about, kids on a playground outside, you know, while Kentucky Kingdom is open, which I'm glad Kentucky Kingdom is open, and while we're going to have a state fair, it just doesn't make any sense, which further makes your point about the lawsuit. And there's a lot of businesses around the state that are just fuming right now because of how the governor handled this.
Yeah, and look, at the end of the day, it's about common sense. It's about CDC guidelines.
Right.
It's about being your brother's keeper. But when you start writing these regs and getting to the weeds, give the public an opportunity to provide insight.
Right.
You know, a simple phone call to my office, if the governor's office had the foresight of calling us, we could have explained to them that this was a 96,000 square foot outside playground. This wasn't in a confined area. It's outside. Right. But there's just been a lack of communication. And, you know, for us, we wish we didn't have to go down this road. But this family business needs to know if they can survive or not. And we haven't even talked about the outdoor wedding venues that they offer, too.
I mean,
they just want to give guidance to the young couples, the couples that are calling them saying, hey, we'd like to do a wedding. How many people can we invite? And when they can't answer that question,
right,
you know, they're not going to book it. And so for them, there's real financial loss as well.
Yeah. Yeah, it makes no sense at all. How's your farm doing? Do you have crops or just cattle? What do you got?
We're corn, wheat, soybeans, tobacco, and we do a lot of hay for the horse industry. Kentucky actually got some severe rain this past few days. There's a lot of destruction out, particularly out western Kentucky. But we farm in the Scott, Fayette County area. We're actually really dry. We could use a little bit of rain right now.
Yeah.
But hey, that's farming.
How much tobacco do you? Yeah, Kentucky.
We still raise over 20 acres, but we're actually growing cigar tobacco this year for first time. So we're trying something a little bit different. But that's really my dad's operation. So I try to help out when I can.
Do you have
Go ahead. I live just far away enough from my father that he doesn't know if I'm home or not.
Right.
So if I need to escape farm work, I just say sorry.
Sorry, I'm not at work. I'm at work. I got a deal here. I'm suing the governor. I can't come over.
Although on Father's Day, on that Sunday morning, I texted him Happy Father's Day, and within seconds he said, "Can you come help load hay?" And how can you say no?
Yeah.
How can you say no on Father's Day?
On Father's Day, you cannot. Do you have does he have like a specific buyer for the cigar tobacco? How does that work?
Well, there's a group of farmers growing it for the first time in Central Kentucky this year, so it is directly contracted right now, just like Burley. But Kentucky actually has had cigar tobacco for some time now out near the Hopkinsville area.
Huh.
You can find Kentucky Proud cigars at cigar stores around the state. They're using dark fire tobacco, a very interesting product. And so, you know, we're not kind of known as a cigar state, but somewhat of a new product for us.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I love it. So, well, listen, it's great talking to you. You know, appreciate you standing up to the governor for small businesses on their behalf. Hopefully the right thing will be done here. Hopefully the governor will, you know, I'm not rooting for him to fail in this. I want him to open up his mind and start to listen to the people around him that have good ideas on how Kentucky can, you know, bounce back with the economy but stay safe from this virus. And if he would just open his mind and stop listening to a bunch of eggheads and start talking to people who are really out there grinding, who don't want to make anybody sick, would be a lot better off.
Yeah, and I'm in the same boat as you, Leland. I want Kentucky to succeed. I want us to make sure that we flatten the curve, put public health first. But we also need to have public input as well, because a lot of times some of these situations can be avoided, like in this situation. But also better public policy can be made when you actually include the public.
100%.
And so I'm all about working together. Let's be the team Kentucky that we can aspire to be. But right now, we just need some clarity because there's a lot of hurt out there across Kentucky's farm families, but also our small business owners.
All right, man. I'll let you go get a bald knob steak sandwich, all right?
Oh, that's right. And you keep practicing your pooper scooper skills. I know it's a futile exercise on your end, but
you should see how my dogs are preparing me in my backyard. It's going to be good. It's going to be good.
That's good.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, listen, Leland. Brother, thanks for your time. I appreciate it.
See you.
All right. That is Agriculture Commissioner Ryan Quarles, super good guy. I don't know, man. I think maybe gubernatorial aspects. I don't endorse politicians. I just like the guy, and I think he has the ability to talk to both sides and work with both sides. We'll see. We'll see who else comes on the scene too, but I really like him. He's a good dude. That's it for this episode of the podcast. Boy, we've got some really cool stuff coming up. Lee Kirkland's going to join us from CryptidCon, and we're going to talk about the weird things coming to Lexington in 2020 later in December for the big conference there. Who else do we have? I've got Jason Falls. We're going to do a little social media stuff. And we're working on a couple of big politicians. Massey, I think, is going to come on the show again next week at some point as well. We'll get him back on. So, but that's it for me. Hey, listen, thanks for listening. We're getting thousands of downloads a week, and it warms my heart that you guys are still hanging in there listening to me. You know, and I really appreciate it. And this is a free podcast. You can download it for free from Apple Podcasts, from Google Play, and on iHeartRadio's app. Just go to iHeartRadio and search The Disruption Zone, and it's going to deliver fresh new episodes directly to your pocket. So that's awesome. Thanks to my co-executive producer and co-host Cameron Mills, who will be back with us as well shortly. Thanks to JP Web Design for their help with the show, as well as Dynamics Audio Productions for their help with the show as well. Follow us on Twitter. It's at Leland Show and at Zone Disruption, because some jackwagon took the Disruption Zone. And then on Instagram, it's different. It's at Greatly Londo, and we have the Disruption Zone on Twitter, or Instagram rather. So check us out there and share it with your friends. Thanks for listening. I'm Leland Conway, the Disruption Zone.